Grace to you and peace
from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Are you ready yet? Have you started picking out your snacks? Have you got your seat reserved in front of the TV? Maybe bought a new one or renting a bigger one so you can see things more clearly, you know? You got your schedule scheduled so no one interrupts you after 6 o'clock next Sunday night? Are you ready? Oh, and by the way, they're playing a football game, too. Because I have friends, maybe you do, but don't watch the game. They go to the refrigerator during the game to come back to watch the commercials. And then they get together after the game and talk not about the game, but about the commercials, you know? Those have got big time, haven't they? I mean, it's a shot, and it's $77 million minimum apiece. That's a lot of money to throw out for 60 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. And so ad people, men and women who work in advertising, have this task to use all the talent and skill they have to make something memorable that gets our attention flash before the screen. People have been working on these for months. Some of them are starting to leak out. You notice that now? People want to make it the most for their money. They're starting to leak the commercials out. And it really, you have a chance. And the good ones, because I like to watch the commercials too because I'm entertained by what they do. Not only make you laugh or make you do something, but some of the good ones make you think a little bit. Kind of in an indirect way. They kind of get your attention, and then you kind of go, oh, maybe that really does say something. How powerful those messages can be. And the opportunity that advertiser has to get their brand, what they want to say before you, with the hopes that maybe you'll be more interested or notice their product when you come across it. Now, you're asking, why am I talking about that? Well, because I think that's exactly what happened in today's gospel. Jesus looks out on this crowd. He's got a once-in-a-lifetime chance to make an impact on them. And he's choosing carefully the images that he wants to have to build what he's trying to say. And he knows if he doesn't get that hook in them, doesn't catch their attention, you know, those people in old days are like people today. If you don't get their attention in about the first minute or so, you can forget about it. They're going to doze off and go somewhere else. And there are more options now than then. But even in those days, so Jesus, like a great advertising, he was an ad man. If you think about Jesus that way, he was really good at coming up with images that grabbed attention in a quick piece of time. And maybe if he was alive today, instead of being a carpenter, that's what he would have done, you know, before he went into ministry. Who knows? But I love this. Two images that Jesus chooses to lay before us. You are the light of the world. Now, I'm not going to talk much about light, because we've been talking about light since Christmas. It's been this theme during winter, as it always is in the church year, in the time of year in the northern hemisphere, which we have more darkness. We always talk about the light shining in the darkness. You've heard Isaiah 9. You've heard the passages. You know the image. But isn't it a powerful one that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light? A powerful image that we are called to be bright people, not dull, not to hide ourselves away, but to be bright in this world. Visible, attractive, attention-getting in some ways. That's one of the calls that the Beatitudes has for people. And I'll come back to it and talk about it. But I think I need to say a little bit more about salt. Salt's kind of got a bum rap. We associate it with high blood pressure and some other things maybe nowadays. I don't know if that's still true. Maybe they've kind of discovered that's not as true as it once was. Because we don't use salt the way we used to. But do you know how valuable salt was in the first century A.D.? It was like Bitcoin before Bitcoin, but never lost its value. As long as salt stayed salty, that is lost not the property of salt, it was extremely valuable. It's one of the reasons the Roman Empire liked the Middle East. There were huge salt deposits. Why? Salt gives taste. Same thing it does today. You know, a little bit of salt can take something very bland and turn it into tasty and makes it easier to eat and enjoy. We all know that. Some of us have to cut back every now and then, but we still know that and enjoy it. But salt had many more issues to it. Salt, initially, was what people used to preserve before refrigerators. Some of us may remember salting meats or doing something like that to preserve it. It's still done in places. It was the only way to keep things lasting longer was to salt them. So it was very, very valuable in the Middle East, where it was rather warm most of the time, and there were no refrigerators, to preserve food, you salted them. So it had that ability to preserve. It was also healing. While we think of the term throwing salt on a wound as a detriment, it's actually meant to be a comment of positivity. Because salt will help cauterize, help reduce the bleeding. I'm going to let my nurses make sure that I'm all right, and that's my medical understanding. So in the days before they knew how to do some of that stuff, they would put salt into wounds. As much as it would hurt, it would shut down the bleeding, begin the clotting, and help preserve life. So salt was like a commodity. It was extremely valuable because it had these great benefits. It brought tastiness or depth to life. This is the imagery being raised by salt. It preserves, maintains the good things, and it also is a healing agent in the Middle Eastern world. It was sort of a little dab will do you for anything, basically, in the first century AD. Salt would be recommended for it. You know, I've gargled with salt before when I've had a sore throat. We use salt more than we realize, even today. But in Jesus' day, it was the hot stuff. And so we're called to be salty people, too. Called to be salty people. I've been thinking about those images in my mind this week. They did tick off a little bit of thing about it. But what we're called to be. Now, we're not called to be dull and bland. You notice that? We're called to be the opposite as people of God. To be bright and kind of tasty, if you will, if I can use salt that way. That's a contrast. A lot of people think religion is something we ought to hide away. And when it's misused, yes, we should hide that kind of religion. That's like what's talking about in Isaiah, where they practice the ritual, but don't practice what the ritual is supposed to teach us. It's supposed to teach us about humility, compassion for one another, and caring. And in the book of Isaiah, it's very clear, God does not want the sacrifices, doesn't want the fast, unless they come with the actions that they lead you to. Because that's how we become visible in the world. We can talk about religion until our hair turns blue. I don't know if you can do that, but I'll use that as an image. You know, but living, when we dare to live as people who believe that we're chosen by God, believe that all people have certain benefits and blessings because God has made them and they are God's, the world will notice because that's not how a lot of people are taught to live. When people use religious activities for their own gain, which is what Isaiah is talking about, they strike with a fist or they use the fact that they fast better than other people fast, which was the Pharisees of Jesus' day's main dilemma. That's why they're put down on the list there. We don't make God visible. We hide our lights behind the bushel basket. To let our light shine is to dare to be brave enough, to dare to allow God's worship, God's wisdom and power to be at work in us. Now, you notice when the light thing is quoted, that's a quote that ought to be familiar to you. Let your light so shine before others. I'll test your Lutheran knowledge here. Where have you heard that before?
Baptist.
Who said that? You get the prize. Ding, 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 ding. We say that every time we do a baptism, when we light the candle that we present to the sponsors. Let your light shine before others. It's not a thing to earn faith. We don't do our deeds of deed. In order to earn God's grace, we do them because we've already been called in the waters of baptism to be people of God. And therefore, we have the freedom and the opportunity to be a visible sign in this world. Will we succeed always? No. We'll falter and fail. And please note, those words of Jesus at the end are not a judgment of condemnation. Those who don't do them are still among the least of the kingdom. We kind of tend to use those words in religious circles sometimes to kick other people out. But it never says they're forgotten by God. They just aren't doing as much of what God wants them to do. We have the opportunity to do more of what God wants them to do. And we have the opportunity to be salt in this world. In all its meanings. To be that which adds taste and flavor to the world. By the way we rejoice with one another and share each other's failures and concerns and heartbreaks. When we do those things, we make life have depth and meaning. And God has chosen us to be that visible sign in the world. We are that which preserves. We should be, as people of faith, that which preserves the goodness in all people and traditions. Hold that which is good. Take care of it. But also that which heals. We have the opportunity to be healing force in the world. Not on our abilities, per se, or by themselves, but on the fact that God has blessed. Look around this congregation. I get a wonderful view every Sunday that most of you don't get. Some of you up here get to see this view. I look out and I see talents. I see skills. I see a variety of people. No two are alike, even if they're in the same family here today. By ourselves, can we do this? No. But if we look around, we have all we need. God has blessed us with people who care for one another, who have integrity, who are willing to do things for others. That's the power of God made visible. That's the salt of the earth. There's us fallible human beings, picking ourselves up when we fall, trusting God's mercy, and willing to step out into the darkness of the world, knowing that God has already blessed and called us. That's what Jesus, I believe, was trying to do. He's using these two images to create something that makes us, that gets our attention, and makes us think. We are the salt of the earth. We have that ability to add flavor and saltiness. We are the light of the world. God is working through us, even if sometimes we don't even see it and the world doesn't notice it, to make himself visible in the world. The power that flows through us. It's what Paul's talking about. We preach Christ crucified. He didn't preach out of his wisdom. Paul had enough education. He could preach out of his wisdom if he wanted to. But he knew the real power comes in preaching Christ crucified. That is a God who loves us so much that he would give his very life. Think of these things. Now, I don't mean that to be a damper. I mean that to be positive. I mean, that's where our hope flies. This is the joy we have. It's not so much whether I feel like being a Christian today, but I'm a Christian because I'm called and I have opportunities this day to be salt and light into a world that's kind of bland and dark far too often. And I want you to think of it. When you go to watch the Super Bowl next week and you watch some of the commercials, and don't tell me you're not going to watch some of the commercials. I know we all will. We can be entertained. We can maybe be a little bit enlivened. But I hope we remember God's message. To be bright, salty people. Amen.